Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to read verse number 4. Verse number 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's focus on those two words, warreth and entangleth. We talked Sunday night about the fact that that is a huge contradiction. If you're in the war, if you're in the battle for spiritual things, you can't be entangled with material. You can't be entangled with temporal things, okay? We talked about that. But then we focused on that phrase, affairs of this life. And that is not bad things. I told you when I went to study that word, I honestly expected it to just be a strong, hard-hitting word about the things that we can be ensnared with. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. I told you that's what I fully expected. But when I got the definition for affairs of this life, it was good things. It was our daily duties. It was what you've done today. It's the things we're supposed to be involved in. My Bible reading today came through the phrase that said, if any man provide not for his own, he is worse than an infidel. And he talked about providing for widows and all of those important verses. So affairs of this life are not bad things. So if that's the case, what he is telling us to do is we've got to keep our what? Priorities in order. We've got to keep our focus where it is supposed to be. Now let me tell you why we're back in this verse again tonight. I haven't gotten as much feedback from a message as I did Sunday night's message. Sunday morning somewhat, but more Sunday night. And y'all are very encouraging. I'm not saying that at all. I'm awkward when you give it, so no wonder you don't say any more than you do. I probably give you ample reason not to. That's awkward for me. Y'all are very encouraging. Y'all don't come up to me, like 75% of the congregation. That's the best message I ever heard. If you said that, you'd be lying. Say amen. Okay, so that just doesn't happen here. I have gotten continual feedback since Sunday night about that phrase being entangled with the affairs of this life. Not only from people who were here Sunday night, but then we were in two different meetings, Monday night and Tuesday night. Last night, before we could leave the service, different people were coming up to me and randomly initiating conversations. Here's what one preacher said. He said, let me know when y'all have some special services coming up. He said, I want to be there. He said, by the way, Brother Raines, it's been way too long since I've been to your church. And then he launched into this 5-minute, 7-minute discussion about how busy they are. And then he said, we're too busy. We've just got too many irons in the fire. We're trying to juggle too many things. That was at the front of the tabernacle. By the time we got to the back, I had had another conversation almost identical. Earlier in the afternoon, I met with a brother, an active man in ministry. And here's what he's been in touch with me for the last month with our family situation. I haven't been able to sit down with him one-on-one until this week. I haven't been able to sit down with him. We've just corresponded via text. And so I sat down with that brother yesterday afternoon. And here's what he said. He said, this man is active in the things of the Lord. He is serving. He is ministering to others. He is sitting at tables and counseling, if you will. And Brother PJ, here's what he said to me. He said, I need help. He said, inside I am a raging inferno. He said, I'm short with my wife and my kids. He said, and they see me acting like Mr. Congeniality and patient and kind and understanding with everybody at church. He said, and then I'm short and snappy at home. He said, preacher, I need help. We talked for a while. He just laid his heart out there on the table. And I said, "Brother, I'll be totally honest with you. I believe with all my heart, and I don't believe in the power of positive thinking. I believe in the power of scriptural thinking." But I said to him, I said, "I believe you're going to be okay." I said, "And here's reason number one. You're honest enough to admit you need some help. The only people who don't get any help are the ones who just go on pretending and acting like everything's okay." And here's what he said, Brother John. He said, "I don't want to minister to everybody else's young people and lose my own." And he said a whole lot more. He said a whole lot more, and you could never in a million years know who I was talking to. And if I thought you would, I wouldn't even mention it. I'm just telling you that Satan in these last days has managed to pull at our minds and to fill our minds and to frustrate us to that point. Do you understand what I'm saying? One of those brothers last night at church, I said to him, he said, "Brother Raines, I'm busier. I'm more active than I've ever been." I said, "And here's the truth of the matter. We've supposedly got more gadgets than we've ever had that were supposed to have simplified our lives. But the fact of the matter is, Brother Michael, they've cluttered our lives." Okay? When I was a kid, Brother PJ can testify to this. They lived on a mill hill in Greenville, South Carolina the whole time I knew them down there. When I was a kid, Brother Doug, families had time in the afternoon, hot summer afternoons. They'd go and sit on each other's porches and drink sweet tea and lemonade and have some fellowship. When was the last time you did that? You know what I'm saying? Every lady in here just said, "I don't want anybody dropping in on me. I want to notice." You understand what I'm saying? We've got all of this stuff that is supposed to simplify our lives, and they're more complicated, they're more frustrated, they're more agitated. We are more frustrated, complicated, agitated than we've ever been. And that ought not to be a description of the body of Christ, okay? So look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let me give you two quotes, and then I've got a very simple outline in question format that I hope, if nothing else, will just leave thinking about and meditating on these things. Let me tell you something. The last thing I want to do is preach. This will be the third, 3, 5, 7, 10, 12, however many messages on this idea of being a good soldier and not being frustrated, aggravated, agitated, but walking in the Spirit, walking in liberty, walking in freedom, communing with Him, sharing His love with those that we love the most. I told my wife, I said, "I ought to be the best Christian my children know. I need some help right there. Come on now. I ought to be the best Christian my children know." They shouldn't say, "Who's got the shortest temper? Who's got the shortest fuse?" "Well, that's my daddy. He's a good man. He loves God. He preaches. He prays. He tells people about Jesus. But he's just a little edgy around the house." That's not right. That's not right. I've told you, I'll tell you again, I'll say it to all of you daddies, mine are grown, they're out of the house. But I'll tell you daddies something, I've sat with way too many Christian school kids, and I'm quoting, I'm not cussing, I'm quoting, and they said, "Brother Raines, I need some help. I know what you see at church, but I know what I live in at the house." And more than one said, and I'm quoting, Brother Mike, I'm quoting, they said, "It's hell at the house." No young person that ought to ever cross their mind about a Christian family. Are there tensions? Yes. Are there hard times? Absolutely. Are there situations that are complicated and heavy to bear? Absolutely. But let me tell you something, that home ought to be a haven, and it's up to the adults in the room to make it happen. So let's look at God's Word. Here, let me give you these two quotes. They help me. I hope they'll help you. "Hold the temporal loosely and prize the eternal passionately." I hope that helps you, because here's what everybody who has talked to me since Sunday has brought up. They've said, Brother Ains, I'm not doing anything I'm not supposed to do. I'm not hooked on internet porn. I'm not gambling. I'm not in sin. One of them said, I have no secret sins. I try to live a confessed life. That's not bragging. We ought to all be able to say that. But everyone from three different areas of life who has walked up to me, some who weren't even here Sunday night, everyone who has walked up to me in these last 72 hours has said, Brother Ains, I need help. How do I juggle what I know is most important with the things in life that I have to do? The responsibilities that I have to get done. How do I balance those things? I think that quote, you said, Brother Ains, are you going to give us quotes on that? Are you going to give us scripture? We're going to the scripture. These are what godly men have said after studying the scripture. And one said, hold the temporal loosely and prize the eternal passionately. Here's how you can tell if you're doing that. What would your life be without it? In 1987, okay, that's ancient history to 2/3 of you, okay? That's right up there with the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. I am well aware of that fact. In 1987, the stock market had its first crash since the 30s. It was right at 50 years. Do you want to know how many points it fell? And sent the world... Yes, sir. You know who's got the money in the church, okay? The one who gives you a 32-year-old stock report. You can't hide money, can you? 500 points. They can burp in Argentina, and our stock market's going to go up or down more than 500 points these days. 500 points in 1987 shook this country and the world. How many of you remember it? Okay. Sam Walton said this. He got up the next morning, got in that old pickup truck, drove to the Walmart that he was going to check on that day. And they said, this was 87, 32 years ago. He lost over $1 billion in one day. And they said, Sam, what do you think? He said, easy come, easy go. So here's my question to you. What would it do to you to lose it? If you've got a nice vehicle, here's what I say, enjoy it. If you live in a nice house, share it with people, host a cottage prayer meeting, say amen. I mean it. Use it for God. I don't begrudge it. You live in whatever you want to live in, but what would it do to you to live without it? And you and I both know there are people, that's all they've got in life is their things, and to be without it breaks them out in hives. I don't know about you. Probably you're in the boat with me. We've never had that. My parents never had it, but we had extended family who did. And I promise you, if they lost something in their portfolio overnight, they were all shook up the next morning. That ought not to be in the life of a Christian. That's Bible now. That is Bible. So hold the temporal loosely. Sand through my fingers. Okay, that's all right. But that's eternal. Hang on to it passionately. That's good. It helped me. I hope it helped you. Listen to this. Attachment to Christ is the secret to detachment from the world. Attachment to Christ is the secret to detachment from the world. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I did not intend for most of tonight to focus on material possessions. However, if the thing that is frustrating so many of God's people is how... Can I say this? That I'm glad you're frustrated. You want to know who worries me? That daddy who's working 80, 85, 90 hours a week and laying up treasures. He's got toys that he can't even play with and children that he doesn't play with. And when they hear a message like this, they'll stay around a Bible-believing, fundamental, independent Baptist church because they want to be known as the one who gives the money and all of that. They'll give it anonymously, but they hope you pray and find out that it's them. Okay? They'll hang around and endure, but they're also not going to change. They're not going to downsize. They're not going to scale their life back to focus on things that are eternal. That's who scares me. The one who says, "Preacher, I'm struggling. How do I get all of this in balance?" That's a good thing. That's a good thing to struggle with. I can't tell you how many times she and I sat down and said, "It's time for a come to Jesus meeting. We got to sort some things out. We're out of balance. We're out of balance. Get time. Somebody help me. Time's out of balance. Money. Money was never, we never had a whole lot to worry with. Okay? You just kind of paid your bills and went with it. But the ones who aren't struggling are the ones who concern me. Look at Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15. And he said unto, and let's start in 13. One of the company said unto him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." What an amazing answer from Jesus, the King of glory. "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" Time out. Look at the preacher. If Jesus wasn't going to get involved in somebody else's business, you and I don't need to. Don't come ask me to help your family divide the inheritance. Because here's gonna, if y'all do, and I say, if I read that verse, and you say, "No, we really want you to," here's what I'm going to say. Give it all to Jesus through the church, through this church. Say amen. So you don't want me at your family get together giving counsel on what to do with money. Jesus didn't step in that hole. And I'm not going to. And some of you independent Baptists always run around giving free advice and opinions there, buddy. You'd be well to study to be quiet and to do your own business. Okay, come on now. He said, "Man, who made me a judge?" Jesus wasn't even nice about it. "Woo, I'm not your judge. Don't ask me that." Look at 15. Then he said, "Take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Somebody say amen. Do you believe that? If you don't, I beg of you to get to that. It is the most freeing place you'll ever be. Here's what happens when you get there. Things come and you're like, "Wow, thank you, Lord. That was awesome." Things go and you're like, "It's all right. It's all right. Still got Jesus. Somebody help me. Long as I got King Jesus." One of my kids had a setback that recently. Shook me. You worry about your kids. You worry how they're going to respond to life. And I was praying. I said, "Oh, Lord, let them get closer to you, not farther away." My wife was talking to them before I could. I said, "How are they doing?" She said, "Good." I won't even tell you which gender it was. I'll just say they. They said, "That's not my rock." Y'all didn't get that. She said, "That's not my rock. Jesus is my rock." That didn't work out like I was expecting it to. Still got Jesus. Now that's more than just good preaching on a Wednesday night. That's something that'll carry you through life. Because here's what you're going to learn eventually. Natalie quoted it to us probably a year ago this service. This is about a week and a half after the mudslide on our property in Polk County. Y'all remember? And Preacher Raines had that amazing verse, "God holds the mountain with His hands." And we all went, "Woo! Thank you, Lord. He's holding the mountain with His hands." I said, "Anybody else got a verse to encourage the pastor?" Y'all remember that service? Natalie said, "I got one. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea." I was a typical smart aleck daddy. I said, "Is that supposed to help me?" That's what I said, Barry. 2 weeks later, we're sitting with y'all. You know, that first sad visit. And here's what the Holy Ghost said sitting in that room. He said, "You better look up that verse Natalie quoted." I went and looked at it. And I said, "I owe her an apology. And I owe it to her publicly, just like I laughed at her publicly." And then I went and saw what Spurgeon said about it, Miss Danielle. And he said, "When everything you've built your life on, when everything that you've put confidence in falls away, I'll still be there." Boy, that helped me. Because it wasn't just falling away on this side. It's falling away over here. And what was in front of me wasn't looking too stable. But God said, I'm all the rock you need. Oh, I need Him. I love Him. Bless Him. Bless His name. Look at 12:15. Take heed. Beware of covetous. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Some of you's probably got this bumper sticker on your car. I'm not preaching to you. I'm not preaching to you. Debate is life. Drama is life. A whole bunch of you need that one. Chess is life. The ocean is, y'all know what I'm talking about. This is life. No. Jesus is life. And then the other twist on it is, if they're beach lovers, salt life. And if they're hikers up here in the mountains, hike life. And if they're fishermen, fish life. Somebody needs to say Jesus life. What's your life? If you like to ride motorcycles, have yourself a time. If you enjoy fishing, have a time. If you enjoy hunting, have yourself a time. Do all that, but don't let it take the place of Jesus. Don't let it take the place of Jesus. Question number one, do your possessions possess you? Do your possessions possess you? If you're having to pinch pennies and rob Peter to pay Paul to pay for your possessions, you are possessed. I hadn't said there's anything wrong with having nice things. You hadn't heard that here tonight. If you're having to rob Peter to pay Paul and pinch pennies and play a shell game and keep creditors at bay so you can have your toys, something's out of balance. Now, if you got dealt a raw hand, I hate to use that expression. I've never played cards in my life. The stiffest thing we ever played was Uno. If you got dealt a raw hand and you're struggling and you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, listen to me, I've been there. I know the sleepless nights. I know that pit in your stomach. I doubt very seriously if there's anybody in here who doesn't know it. But if it's to pay for toys and hobbies that have no place in our life because we're not at that point in life, then something needs to go. Listen to your preacher. Every member who's ever come to me and said, "Preacher, I can't afford to tithe," their situation never got better. God gets what's His. Take a deep breath. What's that worth to you? You seen video of Brother Stinnett Ballou trying to breathe? Have you? Do this. Feed yourself. What's that worth to you? 1, 2, 3. What's that worth to you? 10%'s nothing. He's been so good to me. He's been so good. Brother Gasway, you hadn't complained one time. No. Oh, my soul, we've all got better than we deserve. Do your possessions possess you? Colossians 3. Colossians 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, please say the next four words with me, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Please don't miss that. Do you know why we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture? Do you know why? Did you know there's many people who do not? And they mock us. And here's what they say. That belief has only been around about 120 years. I'm sorry. It's been around as long as I've had a Bible. If you'll go, we're not going there. That's not tonight's message, but it's there, and I want my young people to know why they believe what they believe. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 that later on that His coming in judgment is going to come. But when He comes in judgment, He's bringing us back with Him. That means He got us earlier. We went out in the first load. Say amen. Oh, this is good. I hope it's helping you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you shall appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your deeds which are among the earth. And then he lists that horrible list of sin. Look at verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Looked up affection. You know what I thought it was going to be, Brother Billy? Strong word. Passion. Deep, vehement love. Consuming fire. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. It was 180 degrees opposite of that. You know what it means? Your thoughts. How often do you think about heaven? One of the definitions was to be mindful of. Now, it'd be awesome to be all fired up about Jesus and heaven and eternity. But what he's saying in this passage is this. You've got a life to live. You've got bills to pay. You've got a job to do. You've got family to take care of. But don't forget about me. Just be mindful of me. Keep your thoughts in heavenly places. That's why I enjoy church 3 times a week. It just helps me. It just fuels me up. That's why I listen. I'd like a good amen right here. That's why I listen to the right kind of music. Okay, I told you about the gas station I was at, and I got enough hillbilly in me. They was playing songs that I don't listen to, and buddy, I was having to hold on to that gas tank, that gas pump, to not do some boot scooting out there in the parking lot. Now, I'd have been arrested. They'd have thought I was drunk, because I don't know how to dance. Y'all have seen me online, Baptist pastor arrested. So I got that in me. Y'all are acting so sanctimonious. Oh, Lord, bless the pastor. Please help the pastor. That's my roots. I got a deadly concoction of West Virginia, Tennessee, and rural Central Florida, which is as hillbilly as you've ever seen. It used to be back in the day. So I got a deadly mix of all that. And so all that stuff, Brian, it's just in my DNA. But let me tell you something. I don't listen to it because it doesn't keep my thoughts on heaven. I can tell you that song that's playing at the QT in Gastonia. Here's what I was coming home from. I'd been having a church for Hispanic people in Lancaster. I was serving Jesus. And I stopped at a gas station and I'm getting ready to cut a rusty. You better be listening to the right kind of music that takes you to heaven and not to the other place. All you young people, don't bow your head. It ain't time to pray. What y'all been listening to? Say, Brother Ray, my music standards are different from yours. You don't know what my music standards are. Would you listen to it with Jesus? If Jesus got in the car, would you have to change the station? That settles it for me. Okay, everybody all right? Everybody, you understand where I'm coming from? So affections, your thoughts. Are your thoughts, do you ever think about heaven? All of you young people have heard this all your life. Have you heard an old person say, I've got more over there than I do here? You get a few years on you, you'll start understanding what that means. And it's not just people. It's not just people. Let me tell you who, come on, y'all listen to me. You know what? We're building a church in Myanmar where Adoniram Judson broke up the soil, Seth. We're coming in and planting. Isn't that amazing? Little old Progress Baptist Church, Hendersonville, North Carolina, following down the road behind Adoniram Judson. Glory to God. You know who we're going to get on the other side? It's not just Grandma. It's going to be Myanmar, Burmese. So that's what more on the other side means. You're laying up your treasures in heaven. So question number 2, what place do eternal things have in your thoughts? That's all I'm asking. I didn't say you have to walk around with your eyes rolled back in your head, quoting Bible verses, bumping into light posts, trying to act spiritual. That's not what I said. What place do spiritual things have in your head? Do you ever find yourself at work just thinking about how good God's been? Do you ever find yourself driving and God get in the car with you? If you ever heard Dr. Seidler preach very many times, you heard him talk about leaving Tabernacle. He drove around Greenville, got on Wade Hampton Boulevard, headed to Taylor's, about 25 minutes from the church.
said God somewhere around Church Street. God got in the car with him. He started squalling. Had that Cadillac the church kept him in. He's driving down Wade Hampton Boulevard going, "Woo! Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me." He said, "I don't know how I got home, but I sure made a lot of friends that day." He said, "Everybody in Greenville was waving at me." Is your mind on spiritual things? I love you. Do y'all know I love you? Say amen. Some of you stay depressed because you're listening to the wrong kind of music. You're reading a whole bunch of junk on social media. You need to get focused on Jesus. Thank you for helping me. Philippians 3, and I'm done. Philippians 3. Y'all know Robert Powell, don't you? Man, I love him. Y'all heard him? 7 years ago, he stood up. "Preacher, I need the church to pray for me. I'm depressed." Sat down. I'm like, wow, that's a testimony if I ever heard one. And we've heard some doozies around here. I went to him after church. I said, "Brother Robert, what's going on?" He said, "I'm depressed, preacher." I said, "Well, what are you doing with your time since you retired?" He said, "Watching TV." I said, "I'd be depressed too." I said, "I'd blow my brains out if that's all I had to do." I said, "Is there a nursing home near you?" He was in good health at the time. He said, "Well, yeah, there sure is." I said, "You got a checkerboard?" He said, "I sure do." I said, "Grab your checkerboard, walk in the door and say, I want to play checkers with an old person." He said, "Really? They'll let me do that?" I said, "They're begging for volunteers. You hang around old people, I don't care how old you are, the oldest one in here, you hang around old people who are in wheelchairs and can't get around, you'll leave there skipping. You're going, man, I got it better than I thought I did." Okay? Look at Philippians 3. Are you there? Look at verse 20. I read this verse and got under deep conviction. For our conversation, y'all know that means manner of life. Our conversation is in heaven. Seth, he didn't say it ought to be. Now that you're a believer, start making it that. He just point blank says, your way of life is heavenly. That's what he said. Hey, listen, when somebody walks up to you at work, male, female, young or old, and wants to tell you a dirty joke, you say, my citizenship is in heaven. I'm not listening to that. Say, Brother Raines, that's embarrassing. It's not nearly as embarrassing as it would be to listen to that filth, and the Holy Ghost inside of you gets grieved. And I said, male, female, young or old, the women in our society, God have mercy, this is the saddest thing. The women in our society are as bad as the men ever thought about being. Working in a public job right outside, right after college, one of them walked up to me and said, "You want to hear a dirty joke?" I was an auditor. I was in a bank branch. She said, "You want to hear a dirty joke?" I said, "No, thank you. Not interested." She said, "You're no fun." I said, "My wife thinks I'm a blast." That curbed her hot flash. You say, "Why'd you say that?" I wanted her to know I was ecstatic at 161 Edith Drive in our little 12x60 mobile home with Red. Say amen, Red. Hey, I'm serious. I didn't want anybody at any... Because women talk. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for helping me. And I didn't want her calling the other branch and say, "Hey, you know that young, cute auditor they just hired? He's easy." I need a witness right there. Everybody's bowing their head like you don't know what I'm talking about. We live in Sodom and Gomorrah. I hadn't crossed any lines. I've been in the book. We better walk circumspectly, not as fools. And a lot of so-called Bible believers, they do and say little things that encourage that. I wanted to discourage it and hold it at bay. I wasn't as fat then as I am now. Y'all laugh at fat jokes. I'm fat. I'm overweight. I'm way overweight. But just ask my cardiologist. He told me I didn't have any business pastoring. He said, "You call yourself a pastor." He said, "Those people are looking to you for guidance." He said, "Look at you." I said, "Lord have mercy." I said, That's what he said. He said, "You have no business telling anybody anything about how they ought to be living until you get 50 pounds off." I said, "Yes, sir." I'm trying. Okay. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Listen to me. Here's my last question. Would leaving... Let me read one more verse. Philippians 1. Turn over two pages to the left. Philippians 1. Philippians 1, 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Here's my question. Would leaving be more gain than loss? Would leaving be more gain than loss? Are we so entangled with this world that leaving it is the worst thing we can think of? So, Brother Ains, that's a little raw, isn't it? It's where God put me. As of Sunday, we were going to finish Malachi. And all week long, God says, no, you're staying right where I put you. 2 Timothy 2:4. And just looking at our lives and evaluating this life versus the other one. Matthew 6, 19 and 21, 19 through 21. Don't lay up treasures down here. Lay them up on the other side. Church, I got a question for you. Where's your treasure? Here's what the Bible said. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I believe everybody in here who can should lay up for the future. I think as a man, I have a responsibility to see that my wife is taken care of. Proverbs. Is it wise or good? A wise man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. That's Bible. It's where is your heart, Brother Mara? Where's my heart? Where are my affections? Where are my thoughts? What consumes me? Are you temporal or are you eternal? What's down here doesn't matter a hill of beans. When you're getting ready to take that last breath, you better know you got something on the other side. And leaving is sad for those who are left behind. But let me tell you something. That's our inheritance. That's our home. That's where our heart needs to be. I think sometimes we reveal during crises the fact that our heart's not been on eternity. You know what my Bible reading was today? Boast not thyself for tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. When I read that, Miss Tammy, the Holy Spirit said, you might not have 24 hours. Where's your treasure? That's where your heart is.